following message is from Church of Christ the King, based in Brighton and Hove in the UK. For more information about us, visit our website, cck.org.uk.
It's been a weekend of songs for me, a special weekend for music, because yesterday I went up to see Brighton at the stadium, and there were some very special songs we sang there. Some charming ones, some very touching ones, actually. It's particularly about the referee. Very beautiful and moving songs that got to me in a deep way. It was a very special time, but the Christmas spirit wasn't particularly present there. I suppose, to be honest, I find actually strange for this evening because it's mostly an adult affair. I think children make Christmas. I've privileged to be a parent of a few kids, and I remember a few years ago my oldest was playing with some embroidered nativity figures that we had at the bottom of the tree. A friend of ours had made them for us, and it was a lovely thing that she'd done. And he was just playing with them like children do, like imagining that each one, you know, he could personify the one to the other, and, you know, playing like with action men, I suppose. And in his imaginary scene, the nativity area had been infiltrated by a Buzz Lightyear toy. And my wife, this is no lie, my wife overheard him saying quite strongly, as the character of the baby Jesus, to Buzz Lightyear, "You touch my family, I kill you." Which I thought, again, was just a great insight into the Christmas spirit. He's clearly got the whole message of Christianity right there. I want to just talk to you before we welcome the guys up and have some more fantastic music. I want to talk to you very briefly about your response to Christianity, your response to Christmas, your response to the Prince of Peace. That's the title of this little talk. How do you respond to the Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace is just one of the many titles the Bible gives to Jesus, particularly with relevance to Christmas, actually. And we live in a day where we wait on the opinion of key opinion formers, men and women of influence in culture, who help us to decide on major issues. People like Simon Cowell and such people as Alan Sugar and the Dragons, and everyone wants to know what Craig is going to say on Strictly, and we're waiting for these senior figures. And I want to pick out four panelists, four judges who responded to this newborn baby in their unique, particular way. The first is actually King Herod, whose response to Jesus is fairly well known and fairly negative. King Herod was highly threatened by the baby Jesus. He was not pleased that another king, so-called, had been born, and he responded actually with violence. He found Jesus to be a total inconvenience, I suppose, because he himself saw himself as a king. He wasn't a very significant king. He was a puppet king. The Romans were really in charge, but he still managed to give himself the name Herod the Great, which might tell you what kind of a guy this man was. Herod the Great found Jesus such an inconvenience because I suppose it threatened his self-made life. It's interesting that the people that responded to Jesus gladly, the people that flocked to Jesus and wanted to hear his teaching and wanted to be around him, were often the least advantaged in society, the ones who didn't have so much to lose. They weren't the empire builders. They weren't the kings and the queens. The kings and the queens with so much to lose would find him ever so inconvenient. And the truth is, that's still the case. Jesus is an inconvenience because he insists on being the king. He insists on being the Lord of life. And so to meet him is to meet someone who's very much on a mission and has his own agenda. And that's why Christians ought to be the most secure people in the world, because they've already met the most annoying person in the world and had to surrender everything to him. But that's a huge threat to us. It's a little bit like the person in your firm, or the person who's come into your life who represents the most competition to you. Someone that you would lose sleep about, thinking, goodness, if my life didn't include that person, if they hadn't suddenly turned up and looked so good, my life would be so much more convenient. Well, Jesus is a little bit like that, and Herod found him very difficult. Herod was threatened. Second judge is actually the wise men, so a plural judge here. The wise men, as they're called, who traveled a long way from the east to see Jesus. I would refer to the wise men as spiritually confused. They were spiritual people. They got that right. They acknowledged the world of the spiritual. To be honest, the wise men would fit very well into Brighton. Brightonians, we don't like religion much in Brighton, do we? We're not really into religion. Not really as Brightonians, but we're very spiritual. Most people in Brighton would say, I'm not religious, but I am open to the spiritual. I would see myself as a spiritual person. That's a typical Brighton perspective, and it's very similar to the wise men. If that's how you feel, you're in their company. They were very interested in, I suppose, sort of astrological charts and prophecy calendars and various ways of trying to discern what's the future hold, what's true, what's real, what's out there. There's something out there we want to know. And they found this star, and it took them to find the great king of all kings. But they made a wrong turn and went to Jerusalem. And it's curious that they did that. They shouldn't have. They ended up in the wrong city. I suppose because they thought, well, we're looking for a king, right? And kings come from big cities. Kings are born in palaces, and palaces are found in capital cities. And they just made that assumption. Truth is that when we're looking for spiritual reality, people in Brighton who are looking for spiritual answers, we sometimes like to think that we are a completely blank sheet, that we will welcome any truth as long as it's true. We won't mind what God is like as long as it's the real God. I suspect, however, that in reality we're all a bit biased. We would all like God to be the kind of God that suits our preferences, if you please. We're a bit like Henry Ford, who said, you know, you can have the Model T Ford in any color you like as long as it's black. And we say to God, you can be the kind of God you like. Any God, we don't mind what God, whether you're a him or a her or an it, it's up to you. But truth is, we still have our preference of what we'd really like you to be like. Well, the problem with Jesus is he defies our preferences. He doesn't really fit our boxes. He's always coming outside them. He's always upsetting our prejudices. Jesus, when you expect him to be born in a palace, gets born in a stable. Now, the wonderful thing about these wise men is that they were humble enough to keep looking. They kept looking. They didn't say, well, he's offended me in my spiritual search, so I give up. No, they kept looking till they found him. They weren't too proud to keep looking. And my urge to you over the Christmas season is don't ever be too proud to keep looking. Even if your search for truth takes you in the most unlikely place. The fact of the matter is Jesus is usually at the bottom of everybody's spiritual list. It's like the keys that you lose in the one pocket you don't look in. We're searching in every pocket, and it's never going to be in that pocket. And actually it was. Jesus is the answer, even if you take 20, 30 years, 40 years finding that out. I remember a friend of mine after he became a Christian saying, I have become everything I used to hate. That's true. That's our story. People that have come to know Jesus Christ, we know it's nerdy to be a Christian. We know it's completely out of bounds. It's completely beyond the pale. But we've come to find him to be truly the answer. Third group, very quickly, third judge. And that's actually who I would call the skeptics, who were tragically blind. The Pharisees, in actually John chapter 7, which refers to Jesus' birth. I'll read to you very quickly. It says this. When they heard these words, this is in a discussion with Jesus. They heard these words. Some of the people said, this really is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division amongst the people over him. That's a fascinating story. Because what it says is that there were a whole host of people who decided on the basis of flimsy information that Jesus could not possibly be the Prince of Peace. Why? Because he wasn't born in Bethlehem. We know Jesus. He's a carpenter from up north. He comes from Galilee. That's up in the north. Bethlehem's in the south. He can't be the Christ. He comes from the wrong place. If they'd done a shred of real research, they would have known what we've been singing about this evening. That actually he was born in Bethlehem. His family traveled down to give birth. But they wouldn't look. They made their minds up on small information, on flimsy, on actually misinformation. That still happens as well. We still do that. We often will say we know all about something because we saw a Channel 4 documentary about it. Or because we clicked on a website by someone who's very opinionated. And there are plenty of opinionated websites and plenty of documentaries claiming all kinds of things about Jesus that actually don't stand up to very good historical scholarship. One of the greatest minds of the last 100 years, Bertrand Russell, says, I think it's quite likely that Jesus never even existed. And because it was Bertrand Russell, everyone thought, oh, he's probably right then. No one stopped to say, that is the most ridiculous claim anyone's ever made who's a scholar. It's about as crazy as saying William Shakespeare or Henry VIII or even Napoleon never existed. The evidence is enormous, but people will brush it aside. My plea to you is don't make foolish judgments on the basis of misinformation. One of the reasons why the Alpha Course, which we'll talk about later, is so loved, why millions of people around the world have found it helpful, is because it gives an opportunity to actually look in a non-pressure environment at the evidence. And look for yourself and see, look, actually there is some historical backup for this. But people very often will say, oh, no, we know about that book. We know it doesn't make sense. We know that it's bad history. What do you really know? They didn't really know. They thought they knew. Wasn't born in Bethlehem. If they'd taken the trouble to look, please don't forget to take the trouble to look. Fourth group, and then I'm done. And that's the shepherds. The shepherds, they are the judge on the panel who rejoice because they find peace and joy. They are so delighted to meet Jesus Christ. And I suppose the big thing about the shepherds is that as soon as they hear the news, they respond. As soon as they hear the news, they go to find out for themselves. A king is born unto you today, who is Christ. They run, they go, they want to find out. Even if it's awkward, even if it's embarrassing, even if they feel a bit embarrassed, they don't feel very holy or spiritual, they're just shepherds covered in sheep poo. And they just turn up at this stable, knock, knock, we heard that there's kind of a God in here. Yes, welcome, you're in. The shepherds swallow their pride, go right in. And actually, do you know what? They also are remarkable for the fact that they go in where there are other people. They go in prepared to meet strangers. I know coming to church is a really weird thing. Loads of Christians around. That's freaky in the first place. But so many people you don't know. We can be very open to being spiritual as long as we can be spiritual in the privacy of our own living room. But meeting Jesus means you have to meet his people as well. Come into his community, his family. And so they went in. They pressed in to meet the family. And they found joy. And they found peace. And my longing for all of us here today, over this Christmas season, is that we would know the joy and the peace that he alone is able to bring. Because it's a kind of peace that only God could really give. A peace that's actually peace with God. Where we are friends with him. The God who we've been enemies with since we were born befriends us. That's what Christmas is about. It's God leaning out from heaven saying, I'm coming into your world. I'm befriending you. And to be befriended by the living God means everything. It changes everything. There's a reason why we don't use chihuahuas as guard dogs. There's a reason. You wouldn't go to sleep more restful knowing, oh, we're okay because we're fine because we've got the chihuahua on the door. You know that there's a certain level of confidence that a huge Great Dane gives you. God, through this tiny baby, this tiny chihuahua, comes into the world. But what he's saying is, all the great majesty of heaven is coming into your world and offering you help, offering you a way, offering you salvation, offering you forgiveness for your sins at great cost to himself. Sent his son to die on the cross for us so we could know his freedom and forgiveness and peace and joy. And that's what Christmas offers us. I'm going to just pray and I'm going to ask Matt to come up to tell us a bit more news about what's going on in the church and then we'll get back to the music. Let me just pray. God, we are so grateful for the gift of Christmas. We're so grateful, Father, for the gift of your son. And we pray that this Christmas, we, all of us, would get to know him in greater depth and learn to love him with greater confidence and trust. We pray that this would be a season of blessing, of joy and wonder. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.